A Sports Insider with Joe Quinn and Nick Handley. On your radio at AM 590. Online at AM590ESPNradio.com. And on your smart speaker, ask Alexa to open AM 590 Omaha. Now, here's Joe and Nick.
And we're not worried about no bomb cyclone a week from this Saturday. In fact, we're hoping for great weather on April 20th. Get out to Baxter Arena, be a part of the Clawson Leahy Maverick run benefiting UNO student athletes. We are just a little more than a week away, and you can still get $5 off your registration. Go to AM590ESPNradio.com. Also, use the promo code FOOLS10 to get your discount. Well, we're in the final stretch of this thing. Best person to talk to is the head man himself, Trev Alberts, Director of Athletics for the University of Nebraska-Omaha. And Trev, we're excited about this event as we always are. It continues to get bigger and bigger, and to see the impact and to see the competition and just UNO athletics overall continuing to grow. Boy, it's great to see this thing continue to have its impact on that fact.
Well, thank you so much, Nick, and you and Joe and your station. You guys have done so much for us. We certainly appreciate the partnership and your involvement over the years. And you're right. It obviously, when Baxter Arena came on board, that allowed us to have a facility that really helped to facilitate having a terrific event. And our staff, Pam Shorting, worked so hard on this event. And it honors Don Leahy and Connie Clawson, as you mentioned, as it's continued to grow, and we've had increased participation, donor support, philanthropic and corporate support. We've been able to add additional scholarships to support women's athletics and our entire athletic department, frankly. And so really, really important to us. We're really proud of it, and we're just really proud of your involvement and your support as well.
Trev, what are some of the things? I know you mentioned some additional scholarship dollars, but what are some other things that the funds from this event ultimately go to do for your student athletes?
Basically, what we're able to do, guys, is there's a base level of funding that we do for all of our athletic department programs, right? So as a Division I athletic department, and much of this is dictated by the NCAA and also by the Summit League. So there's minimum requirements in terms of, you just can't be a Division I athletic department, sponsor the sport of women's soccer, and decide not to give scholarships. I mean, there's baseline levels of support that we're required to give. But what events like this does is it takes us, from that baseline level of, well, we have a program, to help us elevate it to have not only a program, but a program that's really relevant, viable, one that can compete at a high level. I mean, it's just all kinds of things. I mean, we're now able to provide some nutrition to our student athletes. And so some of our young men and women, we don't have a training table here, and so they may not have access to the type of resources necessary to eat appropriately. So while it's not a huge investment, we're able to, at the end of their workouts, to provide some nutrition, healthy nutrition, that will help, get them along their day. So it's those kinds of things. It's training apparatus, but we've used for a long time, it was to build scholarship support to allow more young women to have an opportunity to play a sport that they loved at UNO. And over the years, historically, Joe, that's how we've utilized those resources.
Trev, one of the things that I think is always such a neat part of this race, if you're a participant in the race, is seeing the student athletes themselves, from helping out with the kids' clinics to being there at the finish line, to kind of welcome everybody in. It just seems like it's something that they genuinely appreciate as well. You kind of get that vibe as they can be a part of this event.
Well, I think so. Community engagement to the University of Nebraska-Omaha is one of its core principles and values. And so the athletic department is going to do everything we can to be reflective of those core values. And our students, it's not naive to them. They see some of our fans, a lot of our fans, come to their events, whether it's a hockey game, soccer game, baseball, whatever it is. And so it's their way of giving back. We want to be accessible. We want our student athletes. I mean, geez, they're why we all have a job. I mean, they are who we work for every day, and they're terrific young people. They do a lot in the community. They're great in the classroom, and they also happen to be pretty darn good athletes. So the more, and we get a lot of feedback from our donors and from our corporate partners and others, that the best advocates, the best ambassadors that we have, the people we have to get out into the public are our student athletes. Nobody represents us better than they do. And so I think they understand it, they appreciate it, and certainly helping to build the next generation of Maverick fans and supporters of young people that might be out. And so our student athletes take that very seriously.
You know, Trev, it's been amazing. I moved here 6 years ago, and just seeing the explosion down there on campus from, you know, Exarban Village being developed to the Baxter Arena, obviously having the, you know, the hockey team go to the Frozen Four, that first men's soccer team to go to the NCAA tournament, you know, coming close to having Darren Hansen and the men's basketball team in the NCAA tournament a couple of times. All this new, all this change, you guys always moving forward. Anything else out there on the horizon for you guys that you guys are thinking about at this point?
Well, if we could predict, you know, baseball will stay undefeated, win the Summit League, make the NCAA tournament, and hopefully a super regional. I don't know. Yeah, we'd love to have all of our, you know, I'm really proud of our coaches and our student athletes. They've, you know, sort of bought into this, not allowing others to create artificial ceilings for you and to dream big and work hard. You know, our job, Joe, I think what you're sort of referencing is that administratively is to do everything we can to bring them the necessary resources, facilities, and the like to be able to compete at high levels. And so, you know, what I've really been focused on, what our staff has been focused on, is the day-to-day operational success, both financially as well as support. But, you know, then from a capital side is, you know, we still have a baseball and a softball team, and we have other programs. We don't have a track. And so we don't have a home. You know, we've seen, you mentioned Baxter Arena, the impact that Baxter Arena has had on our campus, not just athletically, but, you know, we just had an incredible author have 3,000 people. It was a campus-led event. Well, we'll have all the high school graduations again. But having a home to see the young, you know, Taylor Ward just walked through, probably to get a scholarship check. I'm not sure. But one of our hockey players, you know, was just named Rookie of the Year and stopped and chatted for a little bit. But to see the impact of having a home, a place that not just our student-athletes, but UNO students, when they go to support their institution and go as a student, to have that place that's called home is just so critical. And so, you know, my entire focus and we're going to keep going here is until we have the facilities that all of our programs can have a home and be successful. And we got a lot of work to do, frankly. So that's what we're focused on. You guys have seen the area on the other side of the creek where Baxter Arena is, where the dome used to be.
Yeah.
You know, there's some growth opportunities for us, and we have big goals and dreams. There's a master plan, and we're working towards that end.
Talking once again to Director of Athletics for UNO, Trev Alberts. Trev, I thought there was a really cool piece that Tony Boone did with you guys and about just the branding of UNO Athletics and just the O logo, and we see sort of the modified Durango look too. But, you know, it's amazing after reading that how much I myself, just being around Omaha and out and about, you see it everywhere. You see people donning it. You see a lot of people taking pride in what is going on in Omaha. And have you ever just had a chance to kind of sit back and reflect on that? That was just such a big part of that transition into Division I athletics, was just having that brand of Omaha's team?
You know, it's really a great question. And I can't honestly say that I'd be giving myself way too much credit, and I didn't deserve it. It fell into it. The reality was that I was having a difficult time early on, guys, in that we were such a our campus and UNO's culture was very decentralized approach to everything. Mm-hmm. And that sort of carried over into our athletic department. And there's some elements of it that were very, very positive, but it was so decentralized that really what I was trying to get at was creating a sense of unity within our department and not having, you know, this independent operator here program versus that program versus we wanted to have, you know, I was noticing even in our fan base, we had hockey fans, we had some basketball fans, we had some baseball fans. You know, we really wanted to create Maverick fans. We want people who enjoy baseball to fall in love with hockey or swimming and golf, tennis, all of it. And so it was trying to find a way to bring us together. And the thing that sort of separated it so strongly to me was the different approach in logos and brand. And I thought, you know, what better way of bringing the entire athletic department than to come together to have one signature mark and a secondary mark, and get consistent with it and kind of bring our team together. What I didn't know what would happen would be that the broader campus community would also embrace it and would appreciate it. And then that really brought the athletics program much closer to the academic side of the house. And so, you know, I really do need to say that, you know, BJ Reed is retiring here after several years, senior vice chancellor, John Christensen, who retired, and certainly now Dr. Jeff Gold. You know, you guys have mentioned some of the success our coaches and students have had. I promise you, and you can ask any athletic director, you can ask Bill Moose, you can ask Bruce Rasmussen, you will not be successful in athletics if you don't have support from the academic side of the house. And so I really think that that was a catalyst to bring us together, the deans, the vice chancellors. While we'll have disagreements, and it doesn't mean it's always perfect, the reality is I think there's a centralized and unified voice relative to brand and to where we're going institutionally, which has really been positive.
Well, Trev, once again, the reason we're talking today, the Clawson Leahy Maverick run next weekend down at the Baxter Arena. I know they've moved a lot of the activities inside this year to hopefully mitigate for any potential weather concerns. But if folks want to get involved with this, come out, support the Mavs, what do they need to do?
Simply go on to omavs.com, and right at the top, you'll see this huge banner that you can just click on. It's real simple. You click on it. I just did right now. It has all the information there, how you can register. And you know what? If you can't get on the website and if you don't have access, just come on down to Baxter Arena. We'll find something for you to do if you want to walk, if you want to run, if you just want to enjoy spending some time with our student athletes, tasting some food. Just come on down and enjoy the morning with us on the 20th.
Now, at some point, Trev, I assume that you are going to have to run either the 10K or the 5K. I mean, it's a great trail, and I know a lot of runners actually really do like this overall track that you guys have laid out, especially crossing over the bridge. So at what point are we going to see you kind of come over that bridge and cross the finish line?
Well, that's a great question, and I've been waiting on this, guys. And whenever they get to like a half marathon, I'll probably join it then. This is just too short for me.
Okay. It needs to be more. Okay, so the Clawson Leahy Maverick run, and then we'll have a Clawson Leahy Maverick half marathon.
Well, the truth is, I don't think I could run a 5K, and I'm not sure I could even walk it. No, I'm not much of a runner. In fact, our daughter is. We made her go out for track, and she ran the 200, and she was frustrated at the end. She said, "I thought I was a sprinter." So she kind of thinks like I do. Even a 200 is kind of a long distance. That's a long way to run. So I don't think I'm going to be joining, but I'll be there and cheering and. And I have a lot of respect for those who are talented runners. I can assure you that.
Yeah, and Trev, real quickly, too, before we let you go, it was such an exciting time as we just wrap up a college basketball season with a national championship crown on Monday. And once again, that buildup on that Tuesday night of the Summit League championship game, everybody watching this game in Omaha, seeing if UNO could finally punch that ticket. We were talking about this yesterday. Boy, with the Summit League really changing with a lot of some of the players that we've been very familiar with, either not going to be there, like your Mike Doms, even a guy like David Jenkins now in the transfer portal, with the loss of Zach Jackson and Mitch Hahn, but with so many coming back as well. Boy, feel really good about what Darren Hanson and this group could potentially do next year.
Really, really proud of Coach Hanson, our assistant coaches, the kind of culture they've built. You know, we'll have players that'll enter the transfer portal, and I think, you know, a lot of coaches at our level now are really rethinking, you know, you, especially in our league. I mean, you look at the teams that historically have made that run, who've made the NCAA tournament. They had some veteran presence. They were four-year guys, maybe even five-year, redshirted that first year, grew them, built them. And then that junior, senior year, you get a special class. You get a couple guys like Mitch Hahn and Zach Jackson. Remember when we had Tre'Davion Holland?
Yep.
You get some real great senior leadership that can give you an opportunity. The challenge that they're having now is while that historical thinking about building with some age and growing some maturity on your team, there's no guarantee now they'll be on your roster. And so I'm not sure how many will be redshirting. You know, if you've got a talented player You need to play them. And so the landscape in college basketball has changed dramatically. One of the things I'm most proud of is while I'm sure we'll have players enter the transfer portal from time to time, they're not entering the transfer portal because of a dissatisfaction with the culture, the way they're treated, mm-hmm. or their personal growth. If there's a player, Mooney was playing in a national championship yep. game on national TV, who in the world at South Dakota would be frustrated or not understand his objective and mm-hmm. and blessing and privilege to get to do that? So listen, I mean, if somebody plays here and ultimately gets an opportunity to do something and have an experience that UNO can't deliver, I'm not offended by that. I don't think our coaches would be offended by that. We also benefit from student athletes that were recruited at a high level who perhaps aren't able to play at that level or play as many minutes, and they'll fall down to us. So, you know, our job is just to create the right strategy in terms of chemistry and culture so that we can win that Summit League tournament eventually. We've been there 50% of the time since we're eligible, but, you know, I know that's Darren's goal is to get the kids the opportunity of playing in an NCAA-type environment. That would that'd be a game changer for us and for our institution, and we're close. But we'll have to just keep working.
Trev, kind of a big picture question before we let you go. You know, a lot of conversation these days about, you know, the amount of money in NCAA sports, you know, should players be compensated? I know that a lot of that circles around, you know, the big Power Five institutions. But, you know, from where you sit here in Omaha, kind of taking all of that in, do you feel like we're on the, you know, potential eve of having that big picture conversation to maybe making drastic changes to the NCAA model?
Well, it certainly feels that way to me. You know, I would tell you, we live a significantly different life than most of what is reported in the media, right? So, sure. And I understand that. I mean, you're focused on the Power Five level, and I get that. But I do think from the outside looking in, just based on, you know, what you read, what coaching contracts look like today, what television contracts look like, you know, I think the reality is that there's about to be some fairly significant change. I'm not sure about all the legal stuff that's happening, and I know there's legislative change up at the NCAA. But the reality is you know, the existing amateur model from, you know, the 80s in so many different areas really isn't applicable today, and so. As they're working through all the FBI investigations mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those sorts of things, I would anticipate some change coming. And frankly, it's probably needed and necessary.
Once again, the big event coming up a week from this Saturday, April 20th, Baxter Arena, the Clawson Leahy Maverick Run to benefit student athletes at UNO. You can go to AM590ESPNRadio.com or OMavs.com, get registered. And once again, you can still get a discount on your registration by entering the promo code FOOLS10, still doing the April Fools promo, so you can get registered that way. Going to be a great day out at the Baxter Arena. Once again, we hope to see you out there. Director of Athletics, Trev Alberts, joining us from UNO. Appreciate it, Trev. Always love catching up with you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon.
You too, Trev. All right. 402-573-0590 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. Got some more stuff on spring football at Nebraska, including what this game is actually going to look like on Saturday, and some guys who are not going to be playing due to injury. We'll hear from Scott Frost coming up here in just a few minutes. But, Nick, reading a little bit between the lines there, maybe what Trev had to say about the future of UNO. I know a lot of people are wondering, with that big old golf bubble getting deflated over the winter, if perhaps a baseball field, a softball field would look nice in that space. Obviously, that is something that I don't know where they're at in the process, but sounds like they're at least thinking about that kind of thing, which is good. I mean, clearly both of those programs, you know, you heard him talk about the virtues of having
rumors.
A home.
I hear rumors.
I've heard rumors as well.
I hear talking to some people that are kind of close to just athletics, have talked about it, kind of hinted that it's something that continues to be one of the top priorities. And that was the one thing once they got Baxter Arena up there, was to get a place situated for baseball. Because, I mean, really, having to travel as much as they have around the Omaha area from, you know, anywhere from Boys Town to where they are now at J.J. Isaacson Field at Seymour Smith, It's just not ideal. And even though the softball setup right now is good, it's not the field off of campus. Yeah. So it's then you see that the dome suffer from, once again, the bomb cyclone and all the other stuff that was going on. Seems like a really good opportunity to look at that area. I'm not sure if it's going to be in that area, but I really do feel a baseball facility is coming soon.
Well, and, you know, after the long success that they had, Nick, to see Evan come in, you know, Coach Porter really struggled that first year. But, man, they are up and kicking ass and taking names again
very well
over at UNO in the Summit League. So certainly something hopefully is out there on the horizon for both of those programs. All right, we'll hear from Scott Frost on the game format and who is in, who is out in terms of injury this weekend next on AM 590.
ESPN.
Yeah, we're going to play football. We're not going to have the entire team up and going. There's some guys that it's going to be released today that are probably going to be held out for a variety of reasons, mostly just little injuries. But we want a chance to have an opportunity to compete. So we're going to divide up the team and put a bunch of guys that are only going to play part of the game on one side with their backups and the rest of the team on the other side and let it go. So looking forward to seeing guys compete in the game situation.
All right, there you go. Scott Frost on what to expect this weekend. A couple of those guys that are not going to play. Maurice Washington is out in California. He actually had a court hearing today regarding his case. So Maurice Washington not going to play. Disappointed to hear Wandale Robinson is banged up, Nick. He is not going to participate in the game. And then Omaha Burke standout Nick Henrich also not going to play in the game. They went on to say, in fact, they think he's going to have a shoulder surgery based on an injury that he sustained or aggravated this spring. So Nick Henrich also not going to be a part of this thing. So a couple of the bigger names, I'm sure that people were looking forward to getting their first taste of in a Husker uniform, not going to be out there. But beyond that, sounds like it's going to be pretty close to a legit game. At least that's what it's going to look like. So no quirky scoring system or anything like that.
Well, and without Nick Henrich in there, they that's one of those things that is kind of disappointing. But a lot of the attention has been on the defense pretty much throughout this spring. And, you know, not having Wandale Robinson in there, not being able to see Maurice Washington, the wide receiving position a little bit kind of in flux a little bit as far as trying to find some of those guys around, and the running back position too. A lot of conversation about the defense. Coach Frost talking about, and we've heard it. We talked Greg Sharp about this, talked to some of the other people that have been to some of the practices, and they continue to talk about seeing that improvement with the defensive line. Coach Frost earlier today talking about the improvement that he has seen from the defensive line.
Every group's improved. I got to give a lot of credit to Tony Tuioti coming in, picking up where Coach Dawson left off. I think our D-line has taken a giant step forward this spring. We had a lot of guys back, so you expected that, but Tony's done a good job with them, and they're playing even better than they did a year ago. So every group's gotten better, but I would point that group out specifically.
Yeah, and I think specifically, too, Nick, with that group, you had several fronts you were kind of, you know, combating there. I mean, first of all, change in scheme a couple years ago. You still had some guys that are getting used to that. You had some square peg, round hole type deals you were dealing with there. Some technique issues. But I think we can all sit back and agree that there were some definite, shall we say, strength and conditioning issues along Nebraska's defensive line last year that really were evident as the season rolled along. Those are things that you would expect that after, you know, a change in philosophy, strength of conditioning wise, and just an extra year, you know, being in a 3-4 system, knowing what to expect in this particular system under Chenander, you would hope that you would see some improvement in that. And I don't know how evident that's going to be on Saturday, because I honestly don't know how complex of defensive looks you're going to see on Saturday. But, you know, maybe there'll at least be some guys out there eyeball test-wise that appear to be different than what they were when they left all of us at the end of November.
Seeing guys up front and in that last game that they played against Iowa, even though it was a close game and Nebraska was right there to possibly win that thing, they still got beat up on the defensive line pretty significantly. So, you know, that's something that I think they've really looked at, and this coaching staff has looked at and said, okay, as far as what they were able to do and survive at Central Florida and what they have to sort of adjust to what they're seeing now with the current opponents that they will have to see on a regular basis, that strength up front has to increase. And that's not to say that Central Florida had some small guys up front. In fact, I liked what they had the year that they ran the table, what they had on both the offensive line and defensive line. But you're not going up against that physical brand of football week in and week out like you are in the Big Ten.
Nope.
So that's where I think you do say, hey, we can still stick to our style if you're the coaching staff. We can still stick to what we do and what we want to do. We just got to get a little bit bigger so we can withstand what the other teams are going to throw at us. And, you know, he mentioned They got a lot of guys back, so he's not overly surprised that he's seen improvement on that side of the football. But with that experience coming back, you know, sometimes, depending on what your view is, people can look at it and say, that is what it is. Or other people do think it's a bigger deal. But leadership, having leadership back, and Scott Frost talking about that earlier today.
Let's see.
Oh, you're right on it.
Yeah, you can just tell we have good leadership on defense by the way our defense has been playing this spring. We've been flying around, running to the ball faster, been more aggressive. The communication's been good. That's a sign of a lot of things, but one thing it's a sign of is that you have good leaders. And we do have a bunch of those guys on defense, need to start keep developing them on offense, but the defense has been on point for the most part this spring.
Yeah, in case you didn't know this, I play the audio clips and sometimes I am frantically scrolling up and down. It's like, oh my gosh, where's it at? Where's it at? And I was literally right on top of that one. So
yeah, the leadership thing I think is also a good thing to have in a year that you just need to have some improvement. And I still feel you don't have to have dramatic improvement. You just have to have some improvement of significance. And I think when you do start developing that leadership, and you pointed out, and I think it's also a thing that is going to play well for this defense, is just the overall comfort level with what they're doing in year two in this system, as opposed to the amount of transition that they had between Banker to Diaco, then to Chenander. Okay, now there's a little bit more continuity. Now you kind of know what to expect a little bit more. That can go a long way in that progress. It really can.
It can, Nick, and I know that maybe some people don't view this as strongly as what I do, but when I look at some of the guys they have been trying to put on that defensive front the last couple of years, I mean, your upperclassmen were recruited to play a much different system than what they're rolling now. Over the next two seasons, you will see guys that will be better fits for what they're looking for. I mean, you know, you think the world of some of these guys, like Mick Stoltenberg, okay? Great player, great leader, embodied everything that you want about a Nebraska defensive player. He didn't fit the 3-4 system that they jammed him into the middle of. It was not, his body type was not there. That was not the skill set. I mean, he was recruited to be a 4-3 defensive tackle.
Yeah, you know, he's injured and
he gets
most
hurt,
of the season,
misses
yeah.
most of the season. Carlos Khalil Davis, wonderful players, great motor, wonderful skill set, Nick, but they just don't fit one of your two typical roles necessarily that you have along your defensive line. I think over this season, and especially when you get into next year, that should really start to change. I think you'll notice a big-time difference this year because some of these dudes are a lot bigger and a lot stronger, which will help. But once you get bigger, stronger, and guys that are actually kind of built for this system to do the sort of things that will excel at the sort of things that you need to excel at, that's when I think this thing is really going to take off. And I think you'll see signs that it's headed that way this weekend based on what we've been told. All right, five good questions brought to you by teammates is on the way next on AM 590.
Yes, Peter Moore.
It's time for five good questions on AM 590. ESPN Omaha.
Yeah, brought to you by Teammates Mentoring. And, you know, as we talk about Teammates Mentoring and having the opportunity to be a mentor, which you can do so by going to teammates.org, saw this really cool picture today, which a lot of the inspiration between Tom Osborne's leadership came from his relationship with Brooke Boehringer and the things that Brooke Boehringer did off the field to help just anyone he could. Every Saturday at the spring game, they announced the 2019 citizenship team. And Brooke Boehringer's mother and sister come back to recognize all of the members that are part of the citizenship team.
Got to be careful there.
76 Huskers. That's awesome.
That
76
is really cool.
Huskers. So even if you can't be a mentor or you can't be a part of the citizenship team, you can help someone's life. Once again, go to teammates.org.
One.
Like it.
What do we got?
Who's winning the Masters?
I'm going Rory.
Unlike any other.
I got Rory.
Can I pick Rory McIlroy? Or do I have to pick somebody
sure.
different?
Yeah, you can pick whoever you think is going to win.
Should we do
a
sleeper?
He's the heavy favorite, Nick. I mean,
you can go, let's go our pick and then a sleeper.
He's played great. I believe it's the one major he hasn't won. I think it would make for a great story. He's been hot. So I will go with Rory McIlroy as well. If not Rory McIlroy.
Can't use Justin Rae sleepers.
Boy, you're slapping a lot of like arbitrary rules aren't you?
Would you have gone with Hideki Matsuyama or Xander Schauffele?
No.
So those are the two. Those are sleepers. I don't know if he's a sleeper, but Justin Rae didn't know how he would fare on this particular course. I'll go Francisco Molinari. That'll be my sleeper.
I'm going to go Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Is that can we consider Tiger Woods a sleeper pick for anything?
Well, yeah,
in his career, but
I mean, It is a major, and it's still not the same Tiger, so sure.
How bold of me, by the way, to pick Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods as the two guys who could potentially win the Masters this week. Bold. Two. Hot take. Hot take alert.
I think Tiger's still bold. I think that's bold.
Yeah, it's more bold than Rory, that's for sure.
Ricky Fowler and Kevin Na.
Kevin Na. Okay.
Kevin Na going there. Oh, and the slick Rick with the green jacket. I like it.
Nobody took Lucas Biergaard.
No, nobody took Shooter McGavin either while we're at it.
The NHL playoffs start tonight, guys. Who are the two teams making the Stanley Cup finals?
I think you have to look at two of the best teams right now. Well, you know what? I guess how often does that actually happen?
Not often.
So, I mean, I would say that you would be a fool if you did not put Tampa Bay in there.
I was going to say, I think Tampa Bay is the most obvious if you're looking to make a pick.
Now, I love the way the Boston is playing right now. So if they were coming out of the East as a sleeper, that's who I would take. The Preds are obviously one of the better teams in the West, one of the best teams out there right now. But if I had to go with perhaps another team, maybe I'm going with Winnipeg then.
Yeah, I mean, the Preds have certainly finished the season hot, too. 7-2-1 on their last 10. Nick, I don't know. I mean, look, I'll go the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then a team that nobody talks about. I mean, the Calgary Flames have the best regular season record in the Western Conference. They've been kind of an afterthought for the last several years, but I'll go with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Calgary Flames as the two teams playing for the Stanley Cup Final this year.
Three.
The NBA playoffs start on Saturday. Warriors or the field?
Warriors. I think that I think the gap has narrowed this year between the Warriors and everybody else. In the West, maybe the Nuggets are a team that could get it, you know, over the top. You know, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder certainly have the star power to give them some problems. The East, I feel like, Nick, as soon as we see a team kind of surge to the top, and there's all of a sudden there's just something about them that just doesn't quite feel like. The Celtics had that weird little infighting thing. You know, the Bucks, Giannis has been hurt on and off kind of towards the end of the season here. I feel like the gap still exists, and when the Warriors really decide to put pedal to the metal, I think that they're still prohibitive favorites, but maybe not quite as prohibitive as in years past. But I'll still take the Warriors over the field at this point.
I have Warriors fatigue, and yet I'm still going to go with the Warriors.
Four.
Brian Windhorst is reporting that a lot of the top NBA stars are not wanting to be in Space Jam 2 with LeBron. He's having trouble convincing guys to join him. My question is, obviously with a lot of these guys, the big-time stars are playing in the playoffs. When the season is over, why wouldn't you want to be in Space Jam 2?
Well, I think the space... I would hope, anyway. The reasoning behind this is there's just too much respect for the original. That you just do not want to be part of the recreation.
That's got to be it, right?
And don't forget, it's still MJ. It's MJ's world. That movie was about MJ and how truly amazing he is. Do you really want to get into that debate by being in that movie? Does that mean that you are a LeBron guy when it comes to that debate? So maybe there's part of that.
It's part of it, Nick, but I mean also too within the Space Jam like one realm. Let's think here, okay? So the Monstars, let's assume that it follows the same plot line, right? Where the Monstars come in and they, you know, possess the athletic gifts of I mean, it was like Muggsy Bogues, Sean Bradley, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, and was Larry Johnson was the other guy, I want to say?
Yes.
I mean, those guys were all great players, but the whole premise of the movie was they weren't as good as MJ. Like, what NBA player is going to want to be in this with the same premise as...
There's a lot of ego.
There is, and it's like, who are you going to try and get? I mean, who's LeBron going to try and get? Is he going to try and get, like, Steph Curry to be in this thing? Is Kevin Durant going to want to be in this? Is Kevin Durant going to want to take a backseat to LeBron James in anything?
I guarantee you Draymond Green will not be in it because those two, I don't think, would be on the set for more than 24 hours before they would fight breakout.
I mean, like, who are you, if you're LeBron trying to get five guys who are going to be essentially, like, the boobs of this movie, more or less, who are you going to try and
convince?
The
Banana Boat Crew.
I mean,
Swaggy P has said he's available.
Well, of course, Swaggy P's available. Yeah. What alien in the right mind wants to come and take Nick Young's talent from
him? Melo should consider this.
A guy who's washed out of the league at this point because he's kind of become a dinosaur.
Maybe some D-Wade, you know, it's not quite the last dance. D-Wade could be a part of it.
I mean, but then you're going to get all these jokes about how, like, you can get Dirk Nowitzki and D-Wade to be in it, and Carmelo, awesome. Three guys who aren't in the league anymore because two of them are old and one of them...
you've got to have the tall, gangly white guy. I mean, just like how you have that in the original, so you got to have the tall, gangly white guy, so why not Dirk Nowitzki?
And see, that's kind of my deal, is like, the whole point of Space Jam was the aliens went, like, on the, what was it, the internet, and found out who the best players were, and Michael wasn't in the league at the time. So it's like, they missed out, because he truly was, undeniably, the best player in the league at that point. Who is going to want to, admittedly, publicly, kind of be like, well, LeBron's the real star here. Like, he's the best, but I'll take, like, a backup role. Like, he's going to end up with a bunch of players that nobody's ever heard of. Like,
is George Mirsan still doing anything? I'd like to see George Mirsan somehow find his way in it. Because My Giant was one thing. I feel like that he shouldn't end on My Giant. So let's bring back George Mirsan.
And five.
Speaking of movies, what's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Nick, I feel like you've seen a lot of bad movies over your
life. Describe worse as in is just really, really bad or like highly disappointing? Because everybody who knows me very well knows that I'll always start with Summer Catch because it was a great idea. Cape Cod League is an awesome thing, and as a baseball fan, I love it. But Freddie Prinze Jr. depicting an actual player from the Cape Cod League was insulting, and it was a terrible movie. So I was very disappointed in that.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the really bad movies that I've seen have probably come like in one ear, out the other. It's like they're not even memorable because I'm just like,
I did see Geely, and that was awful.
Yeah?
Saw it for a joke, though. It wasn't like going into thinking this is going to be a good movie. We knew it was bad. My brothers and I, we wanted to watch it and see how truly bad it was, and it's awful.
I would say some movies that I like went to the theater that I was thoroughly disappointed that I actually spent money to see, like, I thought Pineapple Express was dumb. Like I thought that movie was just stupid. I'm just like, I don't know. Clerks.
I love Clerks.
I like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, so I'm not like totally against the concept. Actually, I'm sorry, not Clerks. Clerks was fine. I'm thinking Mallrats.
I don't know if I'd say even better, but I love Mallrats too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't dislike
the only Kevin Smith
those
one I didn't really like was Dogma.
Yeah, and Dogma's another one. Didn't really like that movie either. So it's not like I'm wholly against that whole like franchise of movies, because there are some in there, like Clerks, the original Clerks. I meant Mallrats. Clerks I didn't mind. Jay and Silent Bob, even though it was dumb, like I thought they had some funny moments in it. Like I can sit down and watch Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. By the way, apparently they're making another one of those, so there is that. But yeah, Dogma is definitely a good choice. I did not enjoy that one. Mallrats, I was not a huge fan of, but hey, they're not like I'm sure I've seen movies that are worse than that, like some of the Kurt Russell action movies. In fact, anything with Steven Seagal in it that's not either Executive Decision or Under Siege, all those movies were terrible. Anything with Jean-Claude Van Damme in it, pretty much period, except for Bloodsport.
You know what else was terrible? Really, really, really bad? And my oldest brother told me it was so funny, and I still hold this against him. Told me that the movie with Christina Applegate and Cameron Diaz, The Sweetest Thing, was actually really funny.
Not funny,
that was terrible. And it was right around that time when you had the really raunchy humor out there. And it essentially had a lot of male lead actors in those movies. So this was a way of getting the female actresses involved. And it tried so hard. It was awful. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen. And he told me it was good. So that one was also very disappointing.
The
Kazam with Shaq in it was also terrible, by the way.
Well, yeah, that wasn't good.
The worst movie I've ever seen in theaters. I'll go with Evan Almighty.
I never saw it, and I heard it was terrible.
Bruce Almighty was okay, but I didn't think enough of it to see the sequel.
The worst movie I've ever watched at home is Zoolander 2.
Never saw it, heard it was bad too.
Yeah, and I didn't really
stay away from both.
I didn't like Zoolander 1, I'll be totally honest with you. I thought that movie was kind of dumb. Not an anti-Ben Stiller guy.
I thought it was dumb in a funny way.
I thought that there was a lot better offerings out there than Zoolander. And I feel like those are also movies like Nick Dogma, Zoolander kind of came out at the same time. I was maybe like a junior or senior in high school, and those are movies that people wanted to watch like all the time. I'm like, you guys got
to
find something better
than this. People wanted to watch Dogma a lot, man.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I hung out with some weird
people. I did hang out with some weird people. Yeah, I fully admit to that, and I think they probably would, too. All right, tell you what's on tap for the rest of the night next here on AM 590.
Yes, we tomorrow.
What's on tap is brought to you by Cunningham's Pub and Grill. You can find them at 108th and Dodge in the Old Mill area. Great spot for craft beer, smoked wings, the whole bit. And tonight, Nick, the NHL playoffs get underway. 5 games, Columbus at Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh is at the New York Islanders, St. Louis at Winnipeg, Dallas at Nashville, and Vegas is at San Jose tonight.
Yep,
that's what the NFL NHL ticket looks like.
Truly one of the great postseasons going on, so a lot of opportunities to watch. I know USA has it, NBCSN, NHL tickets, as you mentioned, has it. So USA with a doubleheader, so that'll be I'm still not. Remember when they had the game on the Golf Channel? They had some of the, of the actual Stanley Cup playoffs on the Golf Channel. That was really bizarre. Speaking of golf, too, Masters coverage gets underway tomorrow morning. Now, I know the first group goes about 8:15 tomorrow morning. So coverage from whether your Golf Channel live at the Masters or you're going to have to look at Masters online to see the featured holes that they have that you can see. I think the ESPN coverage gets underway 2 o'clock Central Time is when you can take in the rest of the afternoon.
Speaking of 2 o'clock Central Time, that is when we shall return to the airwaves here on AM 590 tomorrow. We will talk to you then. Enjoy the rest of your night. AM 590.
ESPN tomorrow.